Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Lord, bless us as we get into your word. Teach us, help us. God, we need you. We desperately need you. Help us to be able to know things we couldn't know without you and do things we couldn't do without you. We thank you. It's the entrance of your word that brings light and life, and we pray that the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ will shine brightly here today. In Jesus' name, think through my mind, speak through my mouth. Let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be accepted in our sight. Lord, you're my strength and redeemer. And every happy heart say, amen.
Amen.
Greetings to you this morning in the upper venue here in this church and those listening by podcast. We've been in our series, Kings and Queens, and we've talked about Esther, we've talked about Sarah, we've talked about the Queen of Sheba, then we talked about the original kings and queens, Adam and Eve, who are given the assignment to be prosperous, to steward the earth, to replenish it, and to fill it. Then Stephen Mansfield created a king, King Jonathan, because he's a historian. We just let him do that. He was a guest. You don't correct the guest. He created a king. Jonathan wasn't a king, but we let him do that. Then I came behind him and created a king because a guest did it, so I did it. So I got King Joseph because that's Jesus' daddy. You got to make him a king. And so, and then the prophet, Jim LaFoon, our senior prophet, came in, who we quoted a scripture about Samuel and how God made Samuel a prophet and let none of his words fall to the ground. The nation had been led by prophets prior to Israel having its first king. And they were pretty much the leaders of the nation through judges and prophets. There also was a woman judge, so this was not gender specific. Deborah was a judge, so she led the nation at one point. So I love that about God, that he gives us clues about his children, those kings and queens series. Now, as we talk about the king for the day, quite a bit of a struggle to talk about this particular king. When I went to the leaders of our church and I brought this king up, everybody had a questionable face as to whether or not they thought I should even deal with this guy. He would be probably on the top villain list of the Bible. Nonetheless, he made it today, and I think we can learn a lot from his Bible. His name is King Saul. King Saul. And let's just get all of the negatives of King Saul out of the way. Saul was fearful, shady. He called 1-800 numbers. He did. He talked to witches, okay? That's how he got down. He was disobedient. You know, he was kind of like obeyed half-truths. He was jealous. He tried to kill God's beloved, David. And ultimately, he wore one of the worst titles that a person can wear, rejected by God. But yet, he was the first king that was ever anointed by God. I still believe there's things we can learn from his life, because there had to be a time in the wisdom of God before he got shady that he wasn't shady, and God selected him good. Now, his life is important to us because if he was the first king of Israel, God's people, then we can learn something from this first king, considering that we are called kings and priests. In Revelations 1 and 6 and in Revelations 5 and 10, God says this, and he hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. And Revelations 5 and 10 says, and has made unto us our God kings and priests, and we shall reign with him on earth. And Romans 5 and 17 goes on to say, we shall reign with him, Jesus. And that word reign means, is derived from the word king. So we're called to be kings with him. Now, what you got to understand, that there's three things that we're going to discover that was the process of making Saul king, that will apply or overlay into our lives if we can see it. It is critical that we see this. One, every king has to be anointed. It is a gift given from God. You have nothing to do with it. You must receive this anointing. It's a gift given from God. The second thing you must get is an appointment. The appointment is a position that initiates the process of carrying out your assignment, which is to be the third point, where only character can sustain you. A lot of times people are anointed and it has everything to do with God. But it's only your character that can maintain your anointing. Samson was anointed, but he was shady in his character. Samson was appointed. He was a judge, but he was shady in his character. And in the end, he did his assignment because he delivered the people from the Philistines. But he himself lost his life. It seems to me that the gifts and the calling were out repentance because God got what he needed out of Samson's life. But did Samson get what he need? No. God is going to win. But the question is, will we be winners? Now, growing up, I at high school was the president of my school. Before I became the president, my typing teacher, I can type quite a few words per minute, by the way. Just want to say that. Thank you, Ms. Gladney, wherever you are. She saw in me a gifting, let's just say an anointing. She felt led of the Lord to tell me to run for president. Now, when she told me, I wasn't popular. I wasn't the best athlete. I wasn't most likely to succeed. I wasn't most well known, but when I got up to speak in front of the school, my anointing, my charisma, my special gifting to move the people to wherever they had to move showed up. Now, I'm not saying I was anointed a lot, but I think I said some stuff that didn't come to pass, but it was romantic at the time. I won the appointment, and when I got the assignment, when I showed up to run my first meeting, I realized I didn't know what the treasurer was supposed to do. I didn't know we had to pick officers. I didn't know anything about running the student government. I'd never been in student government. But when I opened my mouth, the anointing did not let me down. Supernaturally, I arranged things in such a way that when they would come out of meetings, they say, man, that was the best meetings we ever had. And I walk away saying, man, I don't know what just happened, but it was amazing that somebody besides me, God is showing up. Statistically, there seems to be a great deal of confusion in our generation about what we are anointed, appointed, assigned, called to do. How do you know? Because statistically, the average person changes their job every 2.2 years. Young people, under 20, every 1.3 years. Even though, when you look at the first man who was ever created, he had two jobs. He was a gardener, and he took care of animals. And what was the job of his first two sons? One worked the ground, and one took care of animals. It seemed like the apple didn't fall too far from the tree. They knew who they were. Saul went through the process of being anointed, appointed, and assigned. In some place, it went wrong. And I want to talk today about the process before things went wrong and overlay the beginning of his life with our life to show us what opportunity we have and what opportunity he had should he have done what Jeremiah 18 says. Here's what Jeremiah 18 says. And this is what the opportunity, here's the, that we have today. Here's what I'm asking all of us to do today as we listen to this message. I'm asking you to consider this scripture. Then the word of the Lord came to me. O house of Israel, can I not do with you as the potter has done, declares the Lord? Behold, Like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it, and if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, at any time I will relent. I will repent of the disaster I intended to do. And if at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build it up and plant it, and if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will relent of the good that I have intended to do to it. Now here is how prophecy works. If King Saul, when he was rejected by God for sinning, would have just said, Lord, hold on. You know what? I'm sorry. I'm acting crazy. Give me a couple months off. I'm going to change my... I'm sorry, Lord. I sinned against you. We're going to get it right. All right? We're going to build this kingdom like you said, not like I'm doing. I'm okay now. I just need to breathe. I probably need to let some people go. I'm okay. If Saul would have repented at any time, God would reconsider the evil. I don't know, as we read through this text, what anointing you've laid down, what appointing you've laid down, what assignment you've laid down. But as you listen to this message, if you find evil was in your life, if you would just repent at that moment, God will repent of the evil or the destruction or the pain that was supposed to come for your disobedience. It's never over as long as you've got breath in your body. That's how you listen to a message. He says, you know what? If you're in a good place and you think, no, you're going to be shady, yeah, it's going good. Me and God, we all right. You know, I'm preaching, I'm doing. Ain't nothing going wrong. But then you got shady tendencies. You got fudging of numbers. You got wandering eyes. Hold on. God not going to let that go down. Everything done in secret, James Lowe, going to be brought to light. So you do what you want in private. I don't be walking private. Ain't nobody gonna see me. Ain't nobody, Lord, be saying, yeah, they gonna see that because I'm gonna put it right up on that screen. I say, yeah, Lord, I'm going home and lay down. Better talk to yourself, work it out. So that's the lens I want you to listen to this message on. Okay? 1 Samuel 10 is where we're gonna go. Every king and queen, which you are, you are now, and you will be for eternity. And you cannot deny who you are. Now, whether or not you're taking advantage of your identity is another question. But you're going to get an opportunity like me to repent. And when you repent, he puts you back in the right place. When the prodigal came home, he said, get his robe and get that ring of authority and put it, kill the fatted calf. I'm not going to treat him like he's a hired hand. I'm going to treat him like he's a son of a king. Put him back in his right place. Don't bother me. We got a lot to do. A lot of work. Now, what's going on is, the people have cried out for a king because they don't want to be led by Samuel's kids. Samuel's kids are not as honorable as he is, as he has appointed them to be judges. They take bribes. They've rejected it. They've cried out for God for a king. And God is saying, I'm going to grant their request. God has talked to Samuel and said, you're going to meet a man named Saul. He's looking for some donkeys. When you see him, I want you to greet him. Samuel has met the man and invited him to a banquet and given him the highest seat and encouraged him. He's given him a big dinner, and he doesn't even know why he's being treated this well. In fact, as he's treated well, he says to Samuel, I'm a Benjaminite. why are you treating me, the least in my family, this well? So we see Saul, this king, having a humble heart, king-to-be, having a humble heart. Let's start at the first verse. Then Samuel took a flask of oil and anointed it and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, has not the Lord anointed you to be the prince over his people Israel? Notice that he didn't anoint him to lead his own people. He anointed him to lead God's people. And you shall reign over the people of the Lord, and you shall save them from the land of their surrounding enemies. And this shall be the sign that you have, that the Lord has anointed you to be the prince over his heritage. Now, an anointing is simply a gift of God, a charisma of God, a power of God, a supernatural, a grace of God to do what you couldn't do without him. This is an empowerment from God. This is not something that you can study for. This is not something that you can work for. This is not something that you can long for. This is not something that you can manipulate somebody for. This anointing, whenever it talks about the anointing, it can only be granted by God. It is a divine grace, a divine strength. It is a power that God has to put on you or gift to you. It's a gifting. You don't earn it. It's something that you are born to have. The gifts and the calling, they are without repentance. God just designed you to get this at a certain time. This is something you just pick up. Like your eye color, like your height, like your hair. This is a divine inheritance. And the Bible, thank you, Holy Ghost, in 1 John 2:20 says, and you have an anointing from God. You have an unction from the Holy One. Each of you kings and queens sitting out there is born with an unction or an anointing, a supernatural empowerment for God's people, not for you. This anointing, Saul, is for you to save my people. The anointing is not for you to look good. The anointing is not for you to feel powerful. The anointing is not for you to know you somebody. The anointing is to save people. And he says, and it shall be a sign to you. When you're anointed, it's a sign of what? God's with you. And he goes on to give him a few more signs. And when you depart from me today, you'll meet two men by Rachel's tomb. This is funny. And he said, he goes on to say, you're gonna meet two men by Rachel's tomb, and they're gonna tell you, you're gonna find these donkeys and everything. The first thing God does once he gives you an anointing is he gives you prophetic direction so that you can continue to run into the words that he foretold to give you confirmation that he's with you and that the anointing that you're experiencing is real. God doesn't leave you without this. But it's amazing that the first stop after he gives him this high word that he would be a prince is by a tomb. He wants him to recognize this. As high as I'm taking you, you're still going to return to dust. As high as I'm taking you, you're still going to have to give an account for this gift. For every man that's been given something, you're going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for the deeds done in the body. Did you bury your gift, or did you dispense your gift? Did you multiply your gift, or did you prostitute your gift? What did you do with the anointing that God gave you to use for other people? Were you so fearful? Were you so timid that you did nothing with it? Or Saul, did you actually deliver it to the people? James, did you deliver it to the people? Or James, did you find another excuse to hold the anointing that I put on you hostage to your weakness, hostage to your fear, the anointing? But let me tell you something, there's a day that the grave is coming up and you're going to be in it. So don't think that the high anointed position that I'm giving you disqualifies you from the grave. Stop by Rachel's tomb on your way. It's amazing how God gives you little clues of your fallibility. Y'all can say a little weak amen every now and then, you know. It's all right, you know. I don't got nothing to wipe the sweat off today, you know, so maybe I don't need to sweat. That. Praise the Lord. Maybe I should be at Mount Zion preaching today. They'll give me an amen. Glory. Okay, now. Then you shall go. Now once you stop by the tomb, he said, then you shall go on from there further. And you'll come to the oak of Tabor. Three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you there. One carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin of wine. And they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall accept from their hand. Now what's going on here? He said the second thing you need to understand along this journey is it's going to take constant fellowship with me in order to be a good king. You're going to have to come to the house of God and give me sacrifices of meat and give me sacrifices of bread and pour out libations. And this is the place where Jacob was at Bethel, where he said, if you bless me of everything I get, I'll give you a tenth. You're going to have to understand that I'm going to be honored in all of that you do and all that you obtain, because you're going to get a lot of attention and you're going to get a lot of wealth. You're going to have to remember me. And this is also the place of revelation, where angels were ascending and descending, and I defined who I was in his life. I told Jacob, I'm the Lord of your father. You got to remember, Saul, who I am. You cannot just take his anointing and forget him. And you're going to have to keep showing up at Bethel. You're going to have to keep showing up at the house of prayer. You're going to have to keep showing up at your knees, Saul. Because if you stop showing up at your knees, if you stop being humble, if you stop forgetting to give an account for the anointing and the position, Saul, you're going to lose your way. You need Bethel, Saul. The brother keeps going. He said, after that, you shall be at Gibeth Elohim, where there is a garrison of the Philistines. And there, as soon as you come to a city, you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with harps and tambourines and flutes and lyres before them prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will rush upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. Now, when these signs meet you, do what your hands find to do, for God is with you. Then go down and meet me in Gilgal. And behold, I will come down to meet you and offer burnt offerings there and sacrifices and peace offerings 7 days. And you shall wait until I come, and I will show you what you shall do. When he turned back to leave Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all these signs came to pass that day. I mean, the man gets a third sign. He gets with the prophets, and the Spirit of God rushes on him, and now he can prophesy. The anointing of God in one moment gives him the ability to do something he wasn't taught to do. Do something no one mentored him to do. No one gave him an example to do. He wasn't among the school of the prophets, yet he's prophesying. He's showing a supernatural ability. And the reason God will do this for him is because God had told him, you're going to be the king. And God wanted him to know, as a sign, just the way I can cause you to prophesy, I can cause you to lead a people. James Lowe, just like you didn't have good enough sense to be a leader before I called you to be the president. You couldn't even barely read. But I'm going to give you that ability so one day you can know that you can lead a church at any time. You can lead a football team at any time. You can lead a multi-million-dollar business at any time. There's nothing they can stop you. I don't know what you're going through in your life, but you got an anointing to do stuff, to prosper. And you've been waiting for some ability, and God's ability is upon you. You don't need another partnership with a man. You don't need another business plan. You don't need another somebody to believe in you. God believes in you. God has given you an anointing. God has given you all things that you need that pertain to life and godliness. Now, the appointment. Here's what happens on point two when we get to verse 10. Every time God makes a decision about your life, you anoint it. There's people standing there to define it for you before God even gets a chance. Community wants to define it. The professionals want to define you. Your family? Mom and them? Baby, you gonna save us? You gonna be the first doctor in our family? But they don't even like medicine. They gonna hurt somebody. They hand ain't steady enough for the scalpel. Scalpel. They'll be scalping. When they came to Gilbert, behold, a group of prophets met them. The Spirit of God rushed upon him, and he prophesied among them. And when all who knew him previously saw how he prophesied with the prophets, the people said to one another, "What has come over the son of Kish? Is Saul among the prophets?" And a man of the place answered, "And who is his father?" Therefore, it's become a proverb, "Is Saul among the prophets?" When he had finished prophesying, he was at the upper. See, here it is. Here it is. The anointing came as a sign. The word of God had already said his appointment was as a king. But now, happy spirited people, you got talent. You know what? In 4 or 5 years, if you keep this prophet thing going, you will have a traveling ministry. Now, you know, you need to get down and get your prophet thing going. Somebody will send you to medical school to get a doctorate degree, to get a master's degree, and saddle you up with debt. And you'll be mad at God for not paying the debt, because you won't get a revelation that the debt didn't come from him, but it was a distraction from people who would not let you acknowledge your anointing and your pointing from God. But they had a voice greater than his at that moment. Sorry. But when repentance comes, I'm going to tell you something that happens with repentance. When a revelation of repentance comes, resource comes, revelation comes. But since God knows you won't repeat the problem, then he can erase it. He go on. Let me just paraphrase this section. So then his uncle comes to him and says, "Hey, tell me what's going on." He said, "Well, you know, I met Samuel, and Samuel helped me know that the donkeys were found, and you guys were concerned about me." He said, "No, but tell me what else." He said, "Well, you know, that was basically it." And the Bible says he never told his uncle of the stuff of the kingdom that he and Samuel had discussed, the stuff that he was going to be king. This lets you know that Saul had some good sense one day. He had more sense than Joseph. When Joseph got a revelation from God of the sun and the moon and the stars bowing down to him, and all that, he went immediately to my mom and dad. "Y'all going to be worshiping me. All y'all, the brothers and sisters, I'm going to be somebody, and y'all going to be my slaves." You know what happened to him? His kinfolk wanted to kill him, and they threw him in a pit to sold him off to slavery. They had a dysfunctional family the rest of their life. Now, Saul said, "You know, I ain't going that route, because I know that story." So he had sense enough to know, you can't tell everybody everything. You know what the Bible says? A fool, say a fool, speaks his whole mind. God gives you an idea. You know, "I want you to go make a t-shirt with this thing on it." And you just told everybody, and now you still broke, and they rich, and you mad. Why you mad? You give away everything God give you. God giving you a way out, and you giving other people your way. Stop. Sorry, I'm yelling. Stop. Stop. That's foolishness. Learn some discretion. Don't say that. Hold it. Hold it. Hold it. Catch it. Almost. Just shake yourself. Slap yourself. Because God is, you know who, thank you. Do you know who created common sense? I know it sounds like a trick question. God. I know it seems avoidable, but he created that stuff. And he likes it. He thinks it's good for you. Okay. He goes on. Samuel tells the people to assemble. He said, because y'all wanted a king. This is why he goes on the screen. He's talking like this. Y'all wanted a king. Y'all didn't want God to be your king. Y'all didn't want my sons to rule over you. And I told you the king was going to take your kids, tax you and everything. Y'all still want this? And God had already told Samuel, quit crying. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. You're thinking it's about your appointment, and they don't like my appointment over them. But it's all right. He said, let's make Saul's appointment public. Let's get a system, a process that everybody agrees to show them that even though he's anointed, I can function within the system to appoint my man. So they cast lots. It's a system of hearing from God to determine who it is. And they get all the way down to the Benjaminites. And they get all the way down to his clan, his family. And then they say, well, according to the system, it should be somebody else, but we don't see him. And then the Lord speak up. It's because he's not here. He hiding in the baggage. Samuel, go get him out the baggage. And Samuel gets him. And the Bible says brings him out. And he's head and shoulders above everybody else. And they look at him. They look at him. And this is the first words they say in verse 24. And all the people shouted, long live the king. You know what they're saying? Ooh, God. We agree with this process. We agree with this anointed servant and the appointment. You can be anointed, but let me tell you something you can't do. Appoint yourself. You know, I'm anointed. I'm anointed to do this job. Hey, God showed me I'm anointed. I'm anointed. I'm talented. I'm going to my boss and say, you either give me the job or I'm walking. You're going to walk then. Because you don't like the process. Because their process was go get one more year of school. Or their process was fill out an application. Or their process was go take a test. Or their process was, just submit to a review board. Whatever it is, you don't like the process. So you're not going to progress. Or maybe you were like Saul, hiding your anointing. You know what God said to the person who met him on judgment day that hid their gift and hid their anointing? He called them a wicked servant, a wicked king, and a wicked king. You may not hide your anointing, but you can repent if you've been hiding it. You can repent and you can say, Lord, I'm sorry. Because it did not take me knowing more, because Saul didn't know nothing about prophesying. He was made a prophet. Didn't take much more. Okay, the last point. Assignment. Your kingdom assignment. Here's after the people said this. Watch what Samuel says. Samuel, you wise guy. Verse 25. Then Samuel told the people the rights and duties of kingship. And he wrote them in a book and laid them up before the Lord. Once you get the appointment, you need to know the description and the details and the expectations of the person who appointed you. And there I laid out, just, I don't have time to go there, in Deuteronomy 17, verse 14 through 18. God say, one day, children of Israel, you might want a king. I think I'm sufficient. But in case you pick a king, here's my rules. Don't go back to Egypt. Don't get a lot of horses. Don't store up a lot of silver and gold. Don't get a lot of wives. And every king, I want you personally to get a copy of the law. And I want you personally to know it for yourself, that you can be an example for the people. You know what? The Bible says some of the people didn't like Saul right away when he was appointed, and they said, long live the king. There were some in the crowd that said, we don't like him. And they went back. And there was a group amongst Israel that was threatened by an enemy. And this enemy told them, pluck out one of your eyeballs, and then we'll let you live. And they sent the message back, and all of Israel started weeping because they had a weak army. They didn't even respect the new anointed king enough to tell him. They just told the people. See, they don't even know how to have a new leader. The word gets back to Saul. He's in the field. He's just in the field with some ox. He's not even just leading in his new position. He's just working the job. And the Bible said when he heard that, he got angry. He cut up the ox. He sent it out to all of them. He said, look, me and Samuel going to be down there in 6 days to fight. Anybody that don't show up for the fight, when we get done fighting, we come into your house and we're going to cut you up. Long story short, they beat them people, delivered the city, and then all the people said, we love him. Look, the king, good, he good, he good, he good king. He good, good king, he good king. Why? Because the anointing didn't let Saul down. Here it is, somebody they've never defeated is coming up. He working another job because everybody didn't like him. And when the problem came, his anointing spoke out. I'm called to save the people from their enemies. Wait a minute. Everybody, I know what to do because I'm appointed. You get here, you get there, you get there. We're going to set an ambush. We're going to do this. See, what's the real problem? The Bible says, when wickedness rules, righteous men and women are simply hiding amongst the baggage. But I'm asking you today, stand to your feet. I'm asking you today not to be anointed, because you're anointed already. I might be asking you to stir up the gift of God within you. I might be asking you to accept your appointment from God and stop vacillating about your calling, about your destiny. Stop saying that what God has called you to do is too hard and it has too much limited resources. It doesn't give you the life you want. So what? You're not here for you. You're not here to live the life you want. This is not my only opportunity for an occupation. I got options. But I'm his slave. I'm his prisoner. And the Bible says when Saul walked away, he was turned into another man. And God gave him a new heart. When they laid hands on me to be senior pastor, I thought when I sat in the front row, I thought about people a certain way. But now I don't think the same way. The revelation of the word is crystal clear. The ability to see the enemy trying to attack your life from a distance is simple. With thousands of people in this church, there's a divine alarm system that goes off simply for you when I need to call out and say, back off of her. Back off of him. What you cannot see is what's pushed back, because there's an anointing and an appointing and somebody holding the character to carry out their assignment. Now that's just me. But wait. It's not just me or King Saul, or all God's kings and queens have this opportunity. This message has come because the question is, will you in Upper Venue, will you in this sanctuary rise up and be counted in your generation? Rise up and stop being told what you're not and hear God say what you are. So here's my two appeals. If you do not know Jesus and you want to get him for the first time or come back to him, without delay, if you're here in this room and you want to get saved or you need to get saved in the upper venue or right here, I want you to join me down here in the front right now. Come, one, two, three, come. If that's you, come. Give God praise. If you're here and you need to give your life to the Lord, come. Jesus loves you. If he's not Lord of your life, come. Wherever you are, upper venue here. Second appeal. And without delay, whether in upper venue or in this room, if you have neglected your anointing, your appointing, your assignment, if you're far, if this message has gripped you, and only you know how it's gripped you, and you want to be free, and just like Saul was changed into another man and given a new heart, and the Spirit of God rushed on him, and you want to be changed, there's an anointing here to break you through today. Then when I count three, you run and break free, because I want to pray for you today. Thank you. One, two, three. Come, get free. Come. Come now. Don't you wait. You run towards your freedom because there's a freedom here. There's a deliverance here. Yes, he's making you new. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. There's a grace, there's anointing, there's a breaking. In the upper venue, don't just sit there. If God is calling you out, if this message has touched you, you get out of your seat and you come down under the grace of God and be set free and be made new in Jesus' name. How about glory? Come all the way down to the front. Come all the way down to the front. Come all the way down. Yeah. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, glory. Come, come, because I'm going to close the altar. In 5 seconds, I'm going to close the altar because I'm going to personally pray for you today. One, two, three. Come on, run. That's why you got to come when I'm calling. Sister, you're the last one. Okay, that's it. God's going to breathe on you. Oh, y'all going to stay with me. I'm going to pray with y'all in between these two services. God's about to break something like he did in the rest. Oh, your life's not going to be the same. Your business not going to be the same. You can't stay where you're at. Yes, there's an anointing there. Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. See that breaking? It's a breaking. You're going to be broke free. You're not going to stay that same way. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus as we dismiss that you release in us as a people a refreshing and a newness. Even for those who didn't come, who should have come. God, I pray that they be made free. They be made new. A deliverance would be here. Nobody under the sound of my voice would be left out of your grace. Set them free. God, bless us as they leave this place without your presence. Keep them in the center of your will as the apple of your eye. And we'll give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. Y'all who want to altar, I'm going to keep praying for you. God bless you. Love you so much. Glory.